today we are going to talk about something that has nothing to do with the weather, something that has nothing to do with snow. But, you know, as I was watching Star Wars last night, and I will admit, this is my first time watching all of the Star Wars movies ever. I had not seen any of the Star Wars movies. My kids decided that they wanted to watch them. They were on Disney Plus. And we have been for the last, couple of weeks, you know, on our days off and when we've had time, just sitting down at night on our weekends and watching the movies. From the very first one, we are on episode 8, I think it is. So we've
made progress.
Yeah, we're almost there. We're almost done. And as I was, you know, but what this is how my mind works, right? It's Sunday night. We're watching the movie. And 3PO is the one that knows all of these languages, right? And the one who can communicate. And then you hear Chewbacca and only a few people know what he's saying, right? And then you hear all of these other characters and depending on which planet you're on or who you're interacting with in the different movies, only certain people know what they're saying, right? And it's so interesting. As I was thinking about, well, tomorrow's Monday and I have this languages interview, I was like, how appropriate is this that I'm watching Star Wars and I'm seeing the importance of being able to communicate? You know, obviously in Star Wars is life or death in many times situations, right? And I know that's not the case for us and majority of the time. But if we really think about it, to understand each other, it's just that important, right? And to be able to communicate effectively, it's really, really important to be able to understand how other people communicate, not just the words, but, you know, like all of the message that comes behind it. And in a way, what Star Wars has taught me is that, you know, all of this dialects and all of these sounds don't mean anything unless you are able to interpret what that is. And then unless you're able to really understand even the culture that comes behind that. So I've grown to really appreciate Star Wars. And I was able to really put it together in perspective in many, many ways with real life. And now I understand why a lot of people really, really appreciate it and love it as much as they do. So with that introduction, with that Star Wars introduction, I can tell you that today I am very happy to have Chris Murphy join me again. He is the ELC Academic Support Coordinator, and I also have Sandra Lee, and she's the Chair of Board Languages Department at Howard Community College. And we're going to talk about learning a new language online. We're going to talk about, you know, the challenges. We're going to talk about also the creativity and maybe some surprising factors that you guys may have found teaching online that actually are positives that you maybe didn't think about before, right? Before COVID, before we were thrown into this online universe, I guess, going along with my Star Wars references here. So welcome you both. I really appreciate the time and I'm really happy to have this conversation. And I'm gonna start with you, Sandra. I'd love to learn a little bit about you, if you can tell us a little bit about yourself and what is it that you enjoy the most about teaching languages at Howard Community College?
Thank you, Chris. Hi, everyone. My name is Sandra Lee. I'm the Chair of World Languages Department. I'm very happy to be here. I teach Korean courses at HCC. And something that I really, really love about teaching languages is that the students who come in have very specific interest in why they want to learn Korean. And I love those interests. Some of it is that they want to work maybe for the government, and they want to pick up a language. K-pop is huge, and there's a lot of Korean programs. So a lot of students would come in and they would know more about the programs that are available on Netflix than I do, and the songs, and they've actually, many of them have taught themselves through other venues, and now they want to get a little more academic side of the language. And so those have been really my favorite parts, knowing where their interests come from.
That's fascinating. K-pop, what is K-pop for those of us who may not know?
So K-pop is music groups. Many of you might know it as BTS is huge right now. And now there's K-dramas and there's a lot of documentaries actually about food, and about Korean history that are available online too.
Something to investigate for sure. Chris, I know that I've already asked you to tell us a little bit about yourself before, but you know, I don't remember if when we talked, I know you'd share with us your passion. And I remember that very, very clearly, how much you love teaching languages at Howard Community College. But if you could just, you know, choose the one reason that why you continue to do that and tell us, just remind us a little bit about who you are and that one reason that keeps you going teaching languages at HCC, what would that be?
So as Chris said, I work in non-credit with continuing education in the English Language Center. So the courses I teach are English language classes to international students or foreign-born students who want to improve their English fluency. And I think the coolest thing that I see from students after I teach them is opening them up to the English-speaking world. And you know, there are so many doors that are open after that. You know, they've immigrated to the country and they feel very limited by English proficiency. They feel limited by job prospects, by the resources that they have access to. And so then after we teach them in the ELC or even in the credit side with English classes, then you know they can go out into the English speaking world and start to make things happen for themselves. Go after different jobs, utilize the resources in the county and the community. And it's just really cool to play a small part in helping their story go forward.
And I've had a couple of beautiful conversations just recently, one about the Skilled Immigrant Program, which I invite everybody to really learn a little bit more about. It's a great program that HCC offers, but also about, you know, English for Careers. So, you know, you mentioned something, Chris, you know, just being able to understand the language. And I know that I kind of like said that at the beginning with Star Wars. But you can go even deeper, you know, and you can really diversify in that. I mean, and just like Sandra just said, I mean, there's different interests. Maybe you're just interested in the culture and that's what you want to learn. I know many people who have learned Spanish just because they fell in love with somebody, right? They're like, I need to communicate with this person, right? Because I love this person. Or they want to travel to a certain country and they want to know like the basics, right? At least basic communications, basic skills, to find out where the bathroom is, just really basic stuff. But also it's just, for me, one of the things that I appreciate about learning languages is that when you're out in the world, you can really, and you know more than that one language, it opens up opportunities. It opens up doors for you to get help, but also for you to help others. Because you understand what they're saying, and many times you'll hear things and you'll be able to react to those things. Now, 2020 came, right? It changed the ways in which we do everything, right? In which we work, we play, we learn. So tell us a little bit about how those, you know, changes impacted learning languages at Howard Community College. Sandra, let's start with you and the academic side. How did that change, you know, in the middle of the semester back in March, when you guys were in full swing and then suddenly had to go online?
So I have to say the instructors have really taken ownership of, you know, what they can do for these students, especially in language courses. Many of our courses were actually only face-to-face courses. And once March happened, we all had to move online. So we went into two different modes. One is remote scheduled, where students and instructors meet at the scheduled time. And another is flexible online, where students meet with instructors, you know, in an online format, not synchronously. And the remote schedule, the students have been very impressive during that time. We thought, you know, they might be struggling with a lot of things in their own personal life. And we thought that it might create a lot of challenge for them. Actually, many of them were there. The instructors were very impressed, the amount of dedication they still had to learn languages. And something that I really enjoy about our, whether it's remote scheduled and flexible online, is that we have actually conferences where all students have opportunity to practice language with the instructors and with each other. That's actually one of the main part of our course that differentiates HCC language courses from language courses in many of the other institutions. So we love that we can keep that going even in an online format.
you know, you talked about the dedication, and I think that that spirit, I mean, in a way kept us going, but also kept us together, which is what we really needed. And I think languages do that. They bring connectivity. They bring us together. Tell us a little bit, Chris, on your side, on the non-academic side, how things worked out, you know, back in March when you had transition.
Yeah, so it's very, very similar to what happened on the credit side. Classes were face-to-face. Like when you think language classes, you think a face-to-face classroom, you know, able to use the language, sit in groups and discuss things like that. And so it was a really strange shift to go from in-person to completely online. We're much more limited in the asynchronous side of things, where ELC classes are primarily that scheduled Zoom. And there are a few asynchronous ones, and some of those have bolstered a bit as we've gone on through the pandemic. But primarily, it's that same kind of thing. Students have, in some ways, kind of climbed more obstacles than credit students may have, where they're coming from countries where they have less digital literacy. And so there's just kind of this big climb that they had to make to get technology, access to that technology, and then kind of get over the humps. Because all of the technology that we use is in English, right? All of the errors that pop up when Zoom isn't functioning, they're all in English. And so our students in particular in the ELC have some challenges with that. But even on the non-credit world language side, you kind of see some similar challenges with some of our students tend to be older folks. And so getting online and kind of beating through the strange things that happen, the intricacies of Zoom and the digital world can still be a challenge for them. But we saw that same dedication where students, you know, they wanted to keep progressing, they wanted to keep learning. And so they tackled it. You know, they had support from us at the college. And those numbers in some ways are a little bit better than they are in face-to-face. We saw students who maybe didn't have the time because they're working a lot, they're driving a lot back and forth to DC, spending hours in the car. Whereas now that many of them are working from home, they're able to kind of finally jump into that. It's been a really interesting year.
And, you know, I appreciate what you just said because it's so real, right? It's so real. We've all experienced it one way or another. We've all experienced it. And just before we went live here, and I don't know if you can hear, but there's the blender going on downstairs. So, you know, those are the kind of things that we have been experiencing this year, right? Where we have sounds from our home. My dog was really barking loud not that long ago. Again, not sure if you can hear or not the blender that's going on downstairs. And then right before we went live, I saw the little color wheel that I think we've all become very familiar with. And when you, like Chris said, when you don't have that technological literacy, or, you know, however we want to call it, or Zoom, just, you know, we all had to learn Zoom really quick, right? We all had to become very comfortable with technology very, very quick. And then you think about, like you just said, everything is in English. I mean, and some of these messages, I consider myself that I speak well English, and then some of these messages come up and I have to read them 3-4 times, and they're one line messages. I'm like, this is making absolutely no sense to me. What kind of language is this? 3PO, come here and save me, because I don't know what this says, right? So yes, it's been, you know, we've seen and we have all been through these challenges, but I love what you both have said, right? That through all those challenges, you have seen that perseverance, you have seen that spirit of wanting to learn, of really just wanting to go ahead and continue your education, further your education. And I bet that if we ask any of our students, that has been a big piece and helpful, really helpful to stay afloat, you know, within this pandemic. And then the opportunity to come into a classroom and talk and interact with others. Have you guys heard anything like that from your students about that safe environment where you can come and really just have interaction with others and just almost forget about what's happening in the world, I guess, in a little bit, you know, for a short period of time. Sandra, have you heard? You're nodding your head, so I guess you've heard something.
Yes. You know, part of learning language, and, you know, we offer 100 and 200 level, which tend to be a little on the lower side of the language courses. So, you know, students come in with a lot of nervousness and anxiety, and they have to really make themselves vulnerable to be able to, you know, learn the language and, you know, kind of make sounds that they've never made before, expressions that they've never had to, you know, make before. So, you know, being able to meet on Zoom, you know, sometimes in groups of three, or sometimes just the students themselves, and then they just kind of, you know, they forget about other things and they go through that learning. And they told me that, you know, towards the end of the semester, some of them will say, this was something that just, that really, they wish they just kind of could kind of continue, because they've opened themselves up, and then now, you know, end of semester comes, and they might have to, you know, they might not have as much time to have these practices and experiences. So they would tell me that they really wish they could just kind of continue. It's just really, really enjoyable to hear that.
Absolutely. Chris, what have you guys heard through the ELC?
Yeah, similar stories. Students are apprehensive a little, but you see that eagerness come out, right? Where, you know, they know where they want to go. And so they come to that class and they bring that tenacity and the perseverance, as you mentioned before. And so, you know, the ones that get over that initial kind of nervousness, a little anxiety coming in, figuring out the technology, then they jump right in. And, you know, they get more accustomed to going into breakout rooms with other students or doing activities with the class and repeating things together with the teacher. And then they're there, you know, they're ready to either learn Korean for K-pop songs or learn English for jobs or, you know, learn Spanish for their future spouse or whatever it is. But they just jump in and they tell you how excited they are. I mean, I'm sure it's the same on the credit side as well, but the students are very happy to offer feedback and tell you, you know, tell instructors how grateful they are for their dedication.
And, you know, I you know, for all our listeners and all our viewers this morning, you know, we have credit and non-credit sides. So, because I know that many times for me, I want to learn French and how to play the guitar. Those are two things that I have on my bucket list of things that I want to learn, right? And I, again, is the time, is the all the responsibilities, but at the same time is the fear. Like, you know, I'm these are new things. And as we grow wiser and older, I guess, right? We don't want to make mistakes. We don't want to put ourselves out there. You use the word that's so true, vulnerability, right? We have to become vulnerable to learn something new. We're going to make mistakes. Like when I try to hold the guitar, I don't know what side I need to hold it on, right? Like I know my fingers, I tried it before and my fingers are not, I say my hands are not long enough. I don't have the hands of a guitar player, right? And then my kids are learning French and I've tried to read things and I've tried to say things and they will laugh at me, right? Because I'm their mom and so they feel really comfortable laughing at me. So having that safe space and having that teacher that's not gonna laugh at you, but also being comfortable putting yourself in that position, right? Where you're going to make those mistakes. It's not easy, it's not easy. Thinking about, you know, those challenges and thinking about those fears and thinking about some of those barriers, Chris, that you even mentioned, you know, with time and you know, having to get to a certain place at a specific time, why would you say that 2021 is actually a good time to learn a new language? You know, what are some of those opportunities? Some of those maybe, I don't know, tools that make it easier that we had not been utilizing before, and we didn't think that maybe it was going to work. But you said, you know, you think about learning language and you think about in person, in classroom, you have to be there. But we're learning through 2020 and the challenges that maybe that's not the only way to do it, right? So Sandra, let's start with you. You know, why 2021 is the best time to come and learn a language online?
The accessibility is one. As I've mentioned, you know, it used to be face-to-face and now a lot of courses are, well, all of them, all the language courses that we offer are now online and you have, you know, different modes. To our instructor's credit, they've also learned some new technologies and ways to teach languages, such as VoiceThread and also, you know, using Zoom comfortably in different groups. Now, And you've touched on this, Chris, that about opportunities, and maybe now is the time for them to, actually both Chris's, for them to learn a new language because they're at home. The flexibility of time for the courses is one of the reasons why it's a great reason to take languages now. Another is that, I'm sure, you know, both adult students and younger students are seeing that through internet, through social media, we're in this globalized world. And learning a language is an essential part of that, because with language, you're not only learning grammar or how to speak, but you're also learning the culture, the practice. And we've seen in our society how important it is for us to be able to know, you know, why people might behave a certain way. And there's a need for bigger and deeper understanding of each other within the United States as well as out. So for students who are maybe not interested in majoring in a language or studying languages, you know, specifically, you can be in medical field, you can be in IT, you can be in many other fields and just take languages on the side. And you can do that by talking with your advisor and see what your options may be. You can go to reach out to Chris Morphew and say, you know, I don't want it for credit, but I do want to take it on the side as non-credit. Or you can reach out to me or our academic advisors and say, in my program, where can I fit in a language? So I can just have that on my, on, you know, as sort of my extra awesomeness that I can have with me. And I can guarantee that that will be useful to them down the road in their career, in their personal life, or even their just you know, more fulfillment in your personal life.
I speak Spanish. I grew up speaking mm-hmm. Spanish and I learned English throughout all of my life since I was little in kindergarten. So I understand, you know, that has given me a certain lens, right? And like mm-hmm. I said, it expanded my horizons and it opened up doors. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you, how many languages do you speak and what that, how that has influenced or how that has really maybe empowered you or, you know, what has that done for you in your life?
So I speak Korean and English, and I'm actually, I teach ESL and I also teach English Lit and Comp as well. So initially my goal was to be a high school English teacher, and I was for a few years. And I thought, you know, I think I want to move to maybe some other opportunities. And I started looking, and I actually started at HCC ELC as a part-time ESL teacher and part-time international student advisor because of my Korean. So I never really knew that I could use it until the opportunity came to me. And then that's where sort of things began at my career at HCC. So it was a surprise to me and to even to my family that I could start out that way. And now I'm chair of World Languages Department, and my experience has been very useful in my career and in talking and communicating with my students.
I love that you just said it opened up an opportunity that I didn't even know was there. That's basically what, mm-hmm. you know, what you just said with your career. So maybe for somebody, and you know, she just mentioned, you don't have to have a career in languages. You can have your career, whatever that career is that you want to pursue, or that maybe you already have, and you can complement it, learning mm-hmm. a language, and you can then serve more people. You can maybe find opportunities that you didn't even know existed just because you learned that one extra language. Chris, mm-hmm. why is 2021 the right year to learn a language, even though we're learning it online and it's so different than anything we ever thought about how learning languages should be?
I think that's the answer. We're learning them in ways that we didn't know that we could, that we should be. You know, to echo what Sandra said, teachers have implemented tons of new resources. So she mentioned VoiceThread, but there are so many different other resources that our teachers are all using. Just on the tech side, things like Flippity.net, right? Or of course, Kahoot's been around a little while, but we're finding new ways to use it. And so 2021 is the year. I think there's a huge shift in what students will be willing to try. Going back to that vulnerability thing, what students are willing to jump into in a classroom, whether it be physical or virtual, and for now, still virtual, right? But thinking about my own classroom experience, combining these resources, so combining Zoom and Kahoot, you know, and some other resource all together, how do I get Kahoot inside of Canvas while we're using Zoom, right? And students are, I think, much more willing to do that now that we've all experienced this crazy thing in 2020.
I love what you just said. You know, we are more willing to try things that we weren't before, right? how are you seeing that that's helping and enhancing that experience in the classroom? You know, for instance, Kahoot, if you tell that to like my mom, for instance, and she's learning, she's gonna be very apprehensive because she's like, well, can I get it on my phone? Can I get it? Do I need it to have a computer? Like, this is just going to be so complicated. Is it going to be in my language? Like, I can already see, you know, somebody being like, no, this is so, all these barriers that I'm going to have to go through. I just want to learn English, right? So this, I guess, flexibility that you're finding, how is that enhancing? And how is that, you know, from both the teacher perspective, being able to bring all of these other resources that maybe you were maybe putting those barriers before and saying, no, my students are not going to go there. Or we're going to do this in class and I'll figure out another way to just do it in person. And also from the student's perspective, you know, how is that enhancing their experience and maybe even giving them opportunities outside of the classroom to continue practicing?
I think that starts with the admin side, the pre-teacher side of the job, right? So Sandra as the chair and me as a coordinator in non-credit, we have to kind of think a few steps down the line for how we're going to get our students effectively in the classroom and doing stuff. So in the ELC, we do a face-to-face advice, well, a one-on-one advising that is now all digital. And so some of the things that we think about are, okay, well, when we get our students in Zoom, we're already prepping them in registration for what that's going to be like in the classroom. So they've already seen what the technology will look like before they even go into class. You know, and then we're talking about teaching them how to use Canvas before they get into the classroom, right? The classroom. So here are some instructions for how to use Canvas Inbox. So that way, when the class begins, if they can't talk to their teacher in Zoom, they already know how to use Canvas Inbox, right? So we're kind of thinking ahead of how to, I guess, preload students with the tools that they need to then learn more tools. So then when they get into the first class, they already know how to use it. They already know how to use Canvas. So now the teacher can kind of scaffold, in the teacher language, we say scaffold what kind of technology they're gonna use from here. Okay, so we are gonna use Kahoot, but here's the cool thing, my students, it's really easy to use. I'm gonna push you the link in the chat box, just click it and it opens for you. Okay, so I'm a little bit comfortable with clicking links, so let's do that and we'll see how it goes, right? And then it's just building on that, starting from the, you know, before class begins all the way through the semester. How are you teaching them language skills, right? So doing this all in Korean, but then at the same time, you're teaching them these transferable skills, these useful life skills that aren't really related to the language directly.
And absolutely, I think that that's a plus, you know, from all of this is that without really thinking about it and without really planning for it, we are getting people who were very uncomfortable online a little bit more comfortable, right? At least familiar with it. And that's a bonus, in my opinion, to this online world. Sandra, tell us a little bit about some of the credit classes that you're really, really excited for the spring semester.
So we have, we offer about 13 languages and many of them are critical language courses. And these are language courses that are not typically offered in many of our surrounding institutions. So I wanna be, you know, honest and say the enrollment in general is somewhat low in some of the courses that we offer, such as like Hebrew, Turkish, these very, very important and essential languages and critical languages that really benefit students. So enrollment has been a little low in those courses, but we're very excited to still offer them. And we're very glad that we're still able to offer it as a college. And we also have growing enrollment in our Asian language courses, especially Japanese, Korean language courses. And we're very excited about our ASL because ASL courses were all only face-to-face prior to the state that we're in now, the pandemic. And now they're online and the enrollment's been through the roof for American Sign Language. And that's something that's been very exciting for us to see how we can deliver that in an online format. And the instructors have been just phenomenal putting those programs, classes together.
You know, the ASL, I have to say, my favorite part of watching I guess it was the President's Ball the other night was the ASL person who was just dancing. I mean, I was like, yes, that's the party right there. You were listening to the music, but she was really putting all her heart into it, and she was dancing, and just, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I love that we're thinking of accessibility, and I love that we're thinking of languages. I think that, you know, many times we think of languages as the spoken language, and, you know, it's French and this and that. ASL, I think we've come to realize the accessibility, and that the real interesting part of learning a language is that you can communicate with others, is that it brings you together. It allows you to really just come together with others that you had no access to before. And ASL, because it's still English, it's American Sign Language, right? I think that that is a beautiful way of just letting everybody, all of our neighbors know here, right here in our country, I care about you. And that's why I'm learning this language. And that's why I want to be able to communicate with you. And so it's the same thing, whatever language you decide to take, no matter what you call it, right? French, Spanish, Turkish, Hebrew, whatever it is, you're basically saying, I'm opening myself, my heart, my mind to my neighbors who speak this language. So just taking that class is already saying a lot about you. So I encourage you to explore learning a new language in this 2021. What are some of the non-credit classes, Chris, that you guys are really, really excited to offer this spring?
So for non-credit, we offer all the credit classes. Those are also takeable through non-credit as well. So it's that same class, same instructor, same assignments and everything like that. So those are, I get a lot of really interesting questions from students who are on the non-credit side about like a Hindi class, about a Hebrew class. And it's always really cool to kind of help them register for those classes. We also have a smaller group of classes that are separate from those academic ones that don't start until April. So let's say that a student isn't able to register for a class this week, since classes will begin here shortly next week. So there's still opportunities for them to take classes. Just like Sandra said, we have an ASL class. We see numbers growing in things like Japanese, where students are interested in not K-pop, but J-pop, the Japanese pop music. And I think a language that we always see that I'm always really excited to see grow is our Spanish classes. The numbers are always really high. And I think that really speaks to the growing number of Spanish speakers in the country, non-native English speakers. And that's such a large community in the US, and that our students are so excited to help those people access resources and really, really integrate into the community.
Sandra, tell us, you know, we've already heard about, you know, things like Zoom and Kahoot, but tell us, you know, maybe about opportunities. Have there been opportunities to engage, because we're online, with people from other parts of the world who are native speakers and bring them into the classrooms, or, you know, I don't know, other creative ways, maybe watching movies together in other languages, you know, as a class. I mean, what are some of these creative ways that our teachers are finding that are possible because we are online?
So some of the resources that that we use in different language courses are the culture aspect of our course. So there's a lot of creative activities that happen with that. Some Spanish courses and Chinese courses, they actually, students create storybooks and actually send it to, they work with student services, and they send those books to a different part of Hispanic area, maybe, I think one of them is Mexico. I don't teach Spanish, so I get a little confused, but they send it to Mexico, and then they actually send it to students over there. And the books are all original stories written by students, both in English and in Spanish, with their own graphics and everything. And they get to kind of talk about why, how education system might be different there than it is in the States. So it's a really a tangible way of making that connection. We also work with other institutions. So for example, we have a Japanese ballet group that wants to put together a program for exposure for our students, for our Japanese students. So that's been a great connection. And we make connections with four-year colleges. So an event like that would be with Japanese courses at UMBC. We also have movies that students watch, and they give presentations on what that movie focuses on, what's the storyline, and what was happening during that time in that country, and why this was significant, or how do characters interact with each other. So that's one aspect of making authentic connections with the languages and the culture. Another connection that I want to mention is a connection with the instructor. So if the course has 12 or more students, we actually have lab instructors who specifically focus on speaking practice with the students. So this is very flexible. Students can schedule time with instructors, or they can go to meet with the lab instructor and really practice the language. So sometimes it's just me and one student, and we're just talking about things in the textbook. And then sometimes we just talk about what's happening and what their interests may be. So there's that sort of built-in connection with the classroom that's always there. So we're very proud of that.
Sounds almost like mentoring, and that's not something that you think when you go to college, that's something that you have to pay for extra. And right now you're getting that one-on-one opportunity to really just be there with your teacher and really expand on that knowledge. Chris, tell us a little bit of the ways in which you guys, because you guys have different barriers, right, and different things to consider when teaching languages at the ELC. Tell us some of those really creative ways in which you guys are helping others learn languages.
So for the world language side, non-credit, some of the cool things that I've seen this past year are instructors reaching out to other speakers, native speakers of the language they're teaching. For example, in a Spanish class last summer, one of our instructors was reaching out to her Spanish-speaking colleagues and having them come into the Zoom classes to do some kinds of presentations. So they're getting really authentic speech, right? Not only from the instructor, but also from these guest speakers who are talking about, whatever topic they're focused on that week. If it's, for example, restaurants, that person is speaking about on restaurants, all in Spanish, and the students get to ask questions, all in Spanish. So there's some real authentic input and output. Another really cool thing we were excited about in the winter classes of this January term for non-credit, we offer a X language for travelers. So French for travelers, Spanish for travelers, German for travelers. And they're relatively popular classes under normal circumstances, since students will often travel in the summertime. So they can come into the class for 8 weeks, learn, some of the most important bits for what they're going to need when they travel, and then they would travel later that year or sometime thereafter. That presented a lot of challenges this winter, given that people aren't really traveling. So we spun that and we made it a, for example, French for armchair travelers. And so what that was instead of the students actually physically traveling, the instructors would find virtual tours for students to take. So if we instead talk about Italian for armchair travelers, the instructor would find some resources for a tour through the Vatican, right? And so either in class or outside class for an assignment, students would take a tour through the Vatican and look for some of the language pieces that they've learned that week, right? Or if it's French for armchair travelers, the Louvre, right, is an obvious one, or right around the Eiffel Tower. So a virtual tour of the area and utilize that language and maybe find some audio to listen to. And we were really excited about that because we thought it was really punny, right? So we had taken this kind of class that was going to be really challenged for the year and spun it in a way that we felt would still be helpful for students and really engaging as well.
Absolutely. And, I one of the first things that I saw happen is that, the opera opened up their doors online, right? And they put a lot of their plays or their works. I don't even know if play is the right word here for an opera, right? But they put it out on the internet for everybody to access. So that accessibility that we have found through the internet, I think is what the internet was made for, quite honestly, to really connect us, to really allow us to travel from home, to really, get to connect with others and experience and just really expand our horizons when we can physically go there. So I think that we've seen how the internet really can be a wonderful tool that can really, really help the world come together. And languages, understanding the languages, I think it's that next piece that really brings that experience to the next level, because there are things, if you look for, going with the armchair travelers, if you go with to a French website, or, if you go to different looking for information about different countries, depending on which site you're looking at. If you don't know the language, and I know that Google Translator exists, but I have to say, knowing Spanish and English, not always the best. Not always the best translation. So sometimes it's verbatim, and it loses completely the context of the text. So just beware of Google Translate. It's a good resource, but if you have somebody you can reach out to, double check, make sure that translation is good for your purposes. You talked about, Chris, that we're really close to classes. So I do want to know, Sandra, for credit classes, what's that process to register for classes? When is the last day that people can register? How does that work out?
So students register through the academic advising and registration side. So it's good to meet with an advisor and register for the course. And you would also use MyHEC Student Planner. And you can find courses and sign up for courses. Now, I want to ask the students to please scroll all the way down for your options. We do offer sometimes, a wide range of times for certain languages. And sometimes students do not realize that, and they might just sign up for the first one that they see, but there might be actually more that might suit you better. Students, actually, there's some exceptions for language courses. So we do actually allow students with permission from our associate dean to register courses up until 2 weeks into the beginning of the semester. If you're feeling, I didn't register now, maybe it's too late. No, it's not. You can go ahead and still see what options are there and register. And we love having students, being in our classes.
That's great you guys offered that flexibility, because maybe somebody's like, I already have all these classes, but I would love to learn a new language, right? And I don't know if it's right for me or not. Well, Sandra just gave you permission to, that week, see how that first week goes. And if you think that this is something that you want to do and you feel that you're still capable of doing it, reach out and register for that language class. How does it work on the non-credit side, Chris, for registration?
So it's a bit simpler since there's not a credit component, where students don't necessarily have to apply to college if they're not already students. But it's really an online registration process. Go to our website, which I think is going to be linked below. Choose the class you want. Again, just like Sandra said, there are lots of time options, since we're co-enrolling with the credit classes. So there may be, for example, Spanish, like 5 to 8 different section times. So students can kind of pick and choose which one works best for them. Click register online, follow the prompts, enter information. It's a one-stop shop, pay and everything. And I know for both, the college website sells the textbooks, and they can be delivered or they could be picked up in person at this time. So I think for both credit and non-credit, the registration process is pretty simple.
Let's talk about affordability here for a moment, right? If somebody wants to learn, like you said, just the basics. I know you said that you guys were offering the courses for travelers, but somebody wants, in the future, somebody's thinking, I do want to travel and I would like to start learning just the basics right now. Is it better for them to take they're a student at HEC. Is it better for them to take a credit class? Is it better for them to take it as a non-credit? Can they combine? If I'm a student at HEC, a credit student at HEC, can I take non-credit classes? And if I'm non-credit, but I want to transfer later to the credit side, can I do that? Do you guys work together? Is it super separate? Guide us a little bit through that process, Sandra, if you could.
So some of the courses that Chris Morphew had mentioned about like language for travelers, that's a separate course from the credit side. Now the credit and non-credit are cross-listed. So students can be non-credit student and be in our credit course. However, for example, let's say the student started Korean 101 as a non-credit student, and they've done all the work, because the grading system can be different for non-credit students depending on how much effort they want to put in as a non-credit student in the credit classroom. So if they've been doing all of the work and they feel that they've really improved, and they want to take 102 Korean credit course, they can enroll as a credit student and still be successful.
Chris, from your side, you know, when should somebody consider just coming and doing for non-credit, right? When should we just go strictly to the non-credit side and register and start there, maybe, if we're talking about languages?
So some of the conversations that Chandra and I have had for, you know, the couple of years that we've been working together in these programs, you know, we look at the student populations, what kinds of people are taking the different classes, credit, non-credit, cross-listed with credit, or, you know, the separate classes, the fully non-credit. And it, you know, there are lots of questions we consider, you know, what kind of time does the student have to dedicate? You know, if a student is working full-time, you know, maybe they have 40 plus hours a week, they may not be able to dedicate a lot of time to studies, in which case, you know, a credit or a cross-listed credit class may not be the best fit for them at that time. Right. Whereas if a student, you know, intends on going into a career and using, let's say, your example of French, you know, then we would kind of guide them towards the credit side. If, you know, if they want to earn a degree that direction, then we would go there. And then we have this kind of middle gray area of students who might be working, but still want to advance their language skills, but aren't looking for college credit. Like maybe they already have a job and a language would be very beneficial to them. They have time, maybe their employer is helping them with that time, then they kind of fit somewhere in those cross-listed classes where, you know, they want the class, they want the rigorous nature of the credit classes, but they don't need that college credit. So one of the things we talk about a lot is who's the student and what are they after? And what are their, you know, their 5-year goals? You know, what do they want to do afterward?
So it's, you know, it's having that clarity of what it is my goal, right? What is it that I want to do? Or maybe if you don't have that clarity, you can join, you can come and talk to an advisor, like Sandra was saying, you can come and talk to somebody at the ELC and maybe they'll help you get that clarity. Maybe they'll say, you know, you're working a lot. I understand that this would be very beneficial. Taking a full credit class might not be the way to do it right this second. Why don't you start over here? See how that feels, see how that works. And then next semester, once you already have, you know, your basics, you go into that full credit class prepared and knowing what type of commitment and how that's going to really affect, right, your life, taking that one class and how much effort and how much time you need to devote to that class to be successful. So don't let, you know, those barriers stop you. Come and talk to somebody, come and talk to an advisor and just explore that opportunity, explore that possibility. Like I said, French is one of my dreams. It's not something that I need. It's just something that I really, really want. I just love the way that it sounds. I love the language. I think it just sounds, every time I hear it, it's like I feel in the, on the clouds or something. Like it's just beautiful, right? And so I want to learn it. I really, really do. And I just know that right now, even for non-credit, it's not a possibility for me because I would not be able to dedicate that time in this very moment. However, knowing that it is online has been very tempting to me because I'm like, well, I can just click off and on and be in that classroom. So have those conversations. Maybe it's not as difficult as you think. And maybe you do have that little time in your day that you can dedicate to learning that language and fulfilling that dream as it is maybe for you, as it is for me. Why should everybody watching us right now consider learning a new language in 2021? And this is really going beyond the classroom. The way that I thought of this question is really going beyond the classroom. It's we've talked about the importance of that, but I think that we have seen through everything that 2020 brought, and you know, all of the situations that we have seen in our communities arise, right? Not just here locally, but in the world. And that connectivity that you got, that you both have spoken beautifully about in learning a language, because it's not just the words, it's not just the letters, it's not just knowing how to say certain things, but understanding those cultures. I'd love for you guys to really just tell us how we can use languages, right? And why we should consider learning a language this year and how that can help us overcome some of maybe this division and maybe come together and understand each other. So Sandra, I'll start with you if you want to take that first.
Mm-hmm. You know, we might think that we know a lot about ourselves and our language, And then when you learn another language, you're going to learn a lot about that language. But what we find is that when you take that leap and you start learning another language, you're actually going to learn a lot of other connections to other words and other languages too, because a lot of these languages have connections for different reasons, whether it's history or geography. So it's actually opening doors to not just one language, but many other, your views to other societies and communities and the way they organize their thinking and behavior and the reasons for them. Also, the other way, it also helps you to really understand yourself better. You know, I know this about my language. Why do we do this in English? But why do they do this in Korean? Or why is there this, why do I behave this way in this situation, but they might not? You know, it informs us about ourselves too. And I think that's just as important, learning more about ourselves as well as, beyond ourselves, right? And language, just taking one language, will really help you to start thinking about that. And it also informs us of the challenges of that. You know, why is it so hard for us to communicate with each other? And you realize, because there are these type of challenges that I'm also experiencing, even just learning this beginning, Hebrew, that I'm experiencing this. So I think that really, it's very applicable to a lot of things that are happening in our communities and societies right now.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard somebody speaking Greek, you know, like there was a table and I thought they were gonna break into a fight, right? Because it's just so strong and so loud. And then they started laughing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a culture I've never experienced before. And it just that little interaction really opened my eyes to the fact that other cultures, you know, it's even represented, like you just said, on their language, the way they interact really informs us of, you know, how that culture is. And it really expands and really allows us to communicate and to really connect better. Chris, why would you encourage everybody to learn a language this year?
Yeah, I think it's a hard question to nail down because it's such a big question. But to kind of piggyback off what Sandra said, you know, when you learn about these people, different cultures, different nationalities, even different locations in the same country, those divisions you mentioned before are just kind of melted down. It only takes a couple interactions with a different kind of person to start to empathize with them and to understand who they are. And it feels like there's this avalanche effect, you know, where it starts with one and then another and another, and then that kind of gets paid forward. And then, you know, that global community is a lot more reachable when you can reach across, you know, the 6 foot distance, right? And when you can kind of connect with that person right in front of you, they connect with the next person. And, you know, a great way to do that in a global sense is to take that language class, learn what those people are saying, learn why they're behaving the way that they are, as Sandra mentioned.
Thank you for that. I love that you said, you know, it takes only a few minutes to talk to somebody and just really be able to empathize and to come, you know, to a level ground, which I think is what we all need to find. So languages might be the way, learning a new language might be the way. If you want to start taking or doing something for your community, maybe the best thing you can do is learn a new language, because it will allow you to connect with others in a way that you never thought possible before. Where can people find more information? Let's direct them to the website, Sandra, if you could. And if there's anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap our conversation up, this is your opportunity.
Thank you. So in Credit Side, we actually have a program. It's English, it's in English and World Languages Division. And the program is called Word Languages and Cultures Program. So if you type that in a search, you'll get information about the program, and that'll kind of tell you, and you'll see that in that program, you'll have humanities and a lot of other areas of your interest sort of built into that program. And also something that I do want to mention, our prospective students, that when you take the language course, we all know that it's not going to be one semester and you master this language. Sometimes that can be discouraging, but I really encourage you to just see where you were in the beginning and then see where you are at the end for that semester, and then continue that and just little by little persevere. and at least take more than two semesters of languages, and you'll really see big differences there. You know, take step by step, but continue.
And Chris, where do people go to register for classes, for non-credit classes?
So again, that search bar on the HCC website, they can type language and culture programs and they'll see different search results for both credit and non-credit. So just be careful if you're looking for a particular track, make sure that you've, you know, clicked the right one that says credit or non-credit. And if you do email questions, Sandra and I talk all the time. So we're happy to share information from students if they're more interested in one side or the other. We do that regularly. Sandra's nailed it, right? It takes time, but it's an investment that's worth it. In all aspects. So we'd love to have you.
Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you. I think that's the phrase that I would like to close the show with. We would love to have you come and join and explore a new language. Like both Chris and Sandra have said today, you might find it surprising everything that you will learn from, you know, you might go into this classroom thinking, I'm going to learn to speak this language by the time I come out of the class. And I think that you're going to be pleasantly surprised, you know, to find that not only you're going to be able to speak some of the words in that one semester that you're going to take and you're going to have a basic understanding, but you're also going to find a lot more about that culture. You're going to learn a lot more than just that language, just the words, just the grammar, just, you know, the spelling. You're really going to see that you're going to expand your horizon, that you're going to have a better understanding of that one culture. And just by having that, you're going to have a bigger openness to the world. So thank you both. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Sandra, for your time. And thank you for all the information. I really appreciate it. And thank you everybody for watching and for listening. Please share this with your friends, with your family. You know, maybe you're at home and you're looking for something to do. Maybe you have too much time in your hands right now. Why not take a language class? Why not do that and just, you know, continue to expand your horizons this 2021?
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.